Hello! Welcome to the Mind Buffs podcast. I am your host, Matt Demwasek, and we're here once again with Miss Shauna Suster.
Oh, hello.
Today is our wrap-up on burnout. So for those of you that have been listening in to this point, we've gone over a lot of different areas that covered the symptoms of burnout, different types of burnout, what to do to prevent or to kind of like mediate burnout and its desire to become big and nasty. And so what we're going to be doing today is like more from the leadership side, the ownership, the corporate, like what do we do as leaders to help either individually or help culturally create a space where we can like prevent burnout from happening at the pace that it does. We'll summarize a little bit, but it'll mostly just be kind of looking at how we can do a better job of creating workplace environments where we don't even need to use the word burnout to describe one's state of mind or one's lack of emotional capacity. So yeah, Shauna is going to take her away and guide us on this tour today.
Yeah, and I want to start off by kind of mentioning and pointing out that we are in Alberta. So some of the research and some of the tools I have for employers might be provincial specific. So just pay attention to those. I'll make sure I point out just a couple of the extra programs and stuff. If you're not in Alberta, just Google it and you can find it out or send us an email and we can look into it as well. We have colleagues in lots of provinces who might have ideas, but there are just a couple Alberta specific. But for most of my stats, I made sure I pulled them from StatsCan so that it could be kind of across the board and we could get a more holistic look at what was going on.
Yeah. Like we're even going to like touch on like if you're considering, you know, taking leave because of burnout, like what does that look like and what kind of support do you have? So yeah, I just wanted to kind of empower people that are or maybe trying to pretend that they don't, that they're not burned out or that it'll dramatically negatively impact like their relationships to people at work. Like there are policies in place to actually protect you when you're feeling this way. So yeah, utilize them.
But yeah. And you and I talked just briefly before about PTO, paid time off. And a lot of that and a lot of like paid sick leave and stuff are going to be different if they're going to be federally regulated or provincially regulated. And so whatever company you work for or that you're a leader in may just have different policies. So I just kind of want to start off with there so that generally we know we're kind of speaking from Alberta point of view, but there are different ways you can handle it. And just because there's a regulation on like minimum paid sick leave and things like that, you can actually do what you'd like in a lot of these different businesses. So just keeping an eye on like what is the government regulated amount of things versus what would I like to do at my company? I know we don't do paid sick leave because we don't work in that. So a lot of these are just kind of from different perspectives.
Yeah. So again, if you are, you know, a business owner, if you do not have the supports of being able to go on leave if you're burned out, then you better damn well listen to our last episode because you can't fuck up because that's going to cost you a lot of time and money if you run yourself into burnout as a consistent pattern because there is going to be no support in that situation. But for the rest of you that have this kind of support, pay attention, y'all.
Yeah. One thing I want to start off with, and it's something that you and I have talked about a lot on this series, has been like what burnout really does. And I think we got a lot of information on it's linked to depression and it exhausts you and physically it's draining and emotionally it's draining and stuff. I think I want to just go back and touch on the like more in-depth kind of side of it. As I was doing my research and stuff, a lot of the things I think are common knowledge, I remember are not. They're just something that I studied a lot and people forget. And I was talking to a coach who was wondering what to do with their burnt out other coaches. And I was reminded of like all the studies on gray matter in the brain and stuff. So I'm not going to go deep into the neuroscience or anything.
Oh, no, we love the science stuff.
I could nerd out on it. But I figured just as a like general reminder, this isn't just for people who are tired. Like, I think a lot of times we think of the classic boomer who worked 65 hours a week and now they're going to be tired and something. And that's not always what burnout is. Just a reminder, go back to listen to the earlier episodes. But burnout over the long term can also decrease gray matter in your like prefrontal cortex and your anterior cortex. And all of these things are going to have a negative impact on memory. That's why you keep forgetting things. Mm. That's why you can't find your keys. That's why you don't remember things. That's why you have to write them down. Movement is a huge one related to that. And it's beyond just like I'm aging and I don't feel as fit as I used to. Mm-hmm. And also like emotional regulations and the ability to feel your emotions is really different because they're going to feel more intense and different or disappear and dissipate and kind of go into that numb mode. And all of those are also like not only mental sides of burnout, but like physiologically your brain has changed. Totally. So
yeah. And yeah, for those of you that are experiencing more like those physical symptoms, no, the wall did not move 3 inches to the right. You just have forgotten how to pay attention to your surroundings because you're that burned out.
And it sounds like weird, but like I caught it in myself where you're just like, oh, I'm suddenly losing way more things than I used to. Now I lose things all the time.
I was like, Shauna, be honest.
So the number of trips back up to the office to get the keys that I forgot is enormous. And so if it's getting even more for me, like, oh my gosh, I was driving my family crazy. Oh, no. Just like I lost my AirPods. They're supposed to be able to track them on your phone. It wouldn't link. I have one AirPod, not the other. And then I find one and not the other. And it's just like, it seems silly. And yes, part of it is ADHD. I lose things. But definitely part of it is like my brain's so in fight or flight and dissociating and like managing all these things that my keys get forgotten or my pen gets lost or my mouse dies. I always charge it. Why is this fallen out of my habit? And so those little things are really good early indicators that you're not just forgetful and getting older, that it might just be something to keep an eye on. And we can all make fun of me for that because I'm very guilty for it. But it's also kind of a fun thing to just be like, oh, haha. Okay, maybe that's a sign that maybe I need to pay attention to something because my ADHD forgetting things gets way worse the more stressed out I am. And so it's a good indicator for me that that might be the path that I'm on. So find an early indicator for yourself. Is yours like, oh, you know what? I go to McDonald's way more often, or do I eat out way more often when I'm a little bit more stressed? So maybe that's your sign. Oh, wow. I've had fast food 3 times this week.
One of the most common signs that I see is kind of like in that first session where I'm working with a new client and their goal is I want to feel like my old self again. And as soon as I hear that language, I'm like, I know exactly what we're working with. That means that like you are in such a survival state and you are pretending so hard that you're okay and you're not, that it's taken so many years before you realize that like you aren't yourself. You've learned to be a different version of yourself to get through what you thought might be a temporary period, but is now like a permanent period because of like the change of state in the culture that you're working in. But if you're noticing like you're having those thoughts or you're like expressing that to your partner of like, I just don't feel like myself, that's a warning sign. That's a giant yield sign being like, whoa, let's slow down, be introspective, and maybe look at what is actually occurring. Could be burnout. Obviously it could be a lot of other things, but definitely stop, slow down, and figure out why am I feeling different.
Yeah. And you become so used to the way that things are that it's almost like easy to forget, right? Because you're so ingrained in the like day to day that suddenly your day to day is like, oh, I don't like this person. I'm just used to this person. And so just paying attention to when that's happening, I think is huge. It comes down to partially mindfulness and also really being vulnerable with yourself and or your partner to be like, hey, I think something's a little bit off. And that not only is scary to admit, but it can be overwhelming. So just having a vulnerable moment with yourself is terrifying, and also in a safe space, you can in fact do that, I promise. Yeah. So I want to get onto the employer side, because as we're talking about vulnerability, not all settings are going to be as easy to do these vulnerable activities as others. I have a privilege here where it's very easy for me to talk about and laugh about the silly things that I struggle with and stuff, but also that hasn't always been the case for me. I know it hasn't always been the case for you, and for a lot of the people listening, it might be the same. And just a reminder, like it's beyond being physically tired. You can be overworked, under-challenged, feel helpless. All the things we talked about, I believe, in episode 1 and touched on in the second episode. Mm-hmm. So for employers, let's start with the like overworked solution. if you're having employees who are coming in to HR to you and having vent sessions and talking about being overwhelmed and talking about how tired they are and talking about how drained they are, to me, I say that is a red flag for the overworked side of burnout, because they're coming to you and they're saying these things. You just need to be able to listen to them. They might even go into like problem solving mode. This was something I used to do where it's like, I'm going to vent for a minute, but then I'm also going to solve my own problem, which will include giving myself more responsibilities so that I can sort out my own problem. And then we kind of spiral from there. And it's, for me, it was like, I have to take responsibility because I'm burnt out, but I've done this to myself. Just stop. I didn't do it to myself. You're not doing it to yourself. It just happens. And so listening for that in your employees, just the language that they're using can be a big sign for that. I usually recommend, one, if you don't have a human resource department, it's not a personal attack on you that they're coming to you with this, okay? Sometimes I think in really big companies, it can also be seen as like, well, this is on me and this is my fault and this is whatever. Nobody's at fault here. This is just a problem and it may have a couple ideas of solutions and that's going to be okay. Emotional skill and emotional regulation should be part of daily work. And so if you don't have that built into your culture, great. Let's like find some educational tools on it, some courses they can do online. Does someone in your department have a special interest in these kinds of things? And maybe they could do a lunch and learn, like just something to help regulate it, because you're getting overwhelmed. Your brain is going a million miles a minute. And we just need to slow down and take a breath and like regulate those skills and those self-talk skills as well. So for employers, I would usually recommend education, talk to a human resource person. If you have someone in your work who's like all about mindfulness and meditation stuff, just ask them. Let them lead something. It'll depend a bit on the size of your company for that.
There is like a much larger conversation we can have just even on like this first point. Like the first thing that kind of came to my mind was like my wife, is kind of like a part-time professor. She teaches a couple of university courses every term. And just because of the age group that she's teaching, she's dealing with a lot of that new generation and that Gen Z. And like they're, I think as millennials and especially boomers, we might look at that generation and go like, holy shit, their capacity is so much lower than ours. And this is important to have an honest conversation about that situation. So is it that they are that they have a decrease in capacity to be able to do as much work as we used to? I don't know, maybe yes or no. Is it that perhaps they're a generation that is challenging the status quo of what we have typically seen as being an acceptable amount of work or labor? That is also a high potential for that. We also know that in that generation, they have the most well-versed, articulate, a way of describing their experiences in any other generation. However, because of that, the pendulum has swung too far and they misuse a lot of language where they're tired or they're frustrated. And then they use the word overwhelmed or I'm feeling burnt out. Like we're going to see people misuse and abuse this language like all of the time. Oh, yeah. But the purpose is exactly to Shauna's point is stop, take a breath. Don't make any assumptions and have a conversation because your staff or your student or your athlete is feeling vulnerable or safe enough to be vulnerable with you in that moment to at least figure out why am I feeling this way? So rather than blaming and labeling or feeling like it's a personal attack, just have a conversation, be curious to find out what is going on.
I think it's important to remember, I often describe it as like you have a plate, right? And like your plate might be a dinner platter and you can handle so much stuff on it and you can load it up and you can pile it and it's not a big deal. And someone else has like a little tea cup size plate and their plate is also full. And it can be really frustrating to look at that and be like, that's the tiniest plate ever. Like, come on.
100%. Like we all know here, like at MindBuffs that like Alex has the largest capacity.
Yeah. How does she have a dinner plate size ability? She's messaging at all hours and we're like, what are you doing? And she's just like, this is just what I'm liking.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, ew.
Yeah, I can shut that shit down hours ago.
Like, no, I'm not doing this right now. And so if you have like, you know, a smaller plate or just like a regular size plate, mm-hmm. and someone you're working with has a huge platter, just watch the judgment, okay? I catch myself doing this all the time, especially with my family or my sibling and things like that, about just like, come on, like, it's not that hard. Yeah. But it is, in fact, can be that hard, especially because as you're burning out, that plate size might feel like it's changing and you're getting overwhelmed with things that you wouldn't necessarily before. As an employer, I just take a second to be like, wow, I must be doing something right if they trust me to come and talk to me about this. Yes, the problem might feel ridiculous in your brain, and I understand that, but that means you're doing something right. If they're like, I'm tired, I can't do this, I don't know what's going on, and you're thinking it's one Excel sheet, just pause. Okay, yeah. I've clearly created a great space. Now we can problem solve from here. Because I'm not saying, oh, sweetheart, I guess that means you don't have to do that work anymore. I'm just saying take a second, because it goes beyond you as the employer.
And feel free to shush me if you're like, I got so many points I want to go on to, but just like one more thing.
No, keep going.
Just like popped to my mind. Just because like we work with a lot of different accounting firms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the typical busy season is right now. So for those of you that have family members or friends that are accountants, you know what's happening right now. And obviously, the amount of work that accountants are doing right now is extensive. There's overtime most days, at the very least, every week has overtime. And yeah, it's a lot of work and it's tiring. But if the ecosystem is really strong and really healthy, if people are allowed to talk about their frustrations, if they're allowed to ask for help without being shamed, if they're allowed to make mistakes and not get shit on, then it doesn't matter how many hours you're working. We have extensive physical capacity to do work. But if emotionally it feels like, why am I even bothering? So when someone is telling you that they are feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, that's where you have to be curious and be like, okay, is it that they're feeling physically tired because of the amount of work? And it's like, well, unfortunately, this is how the industry is right now. Do we want it to be better? Of course, but like, this is what it takes. Or they burnt out because as an oversight, maybe you forgot to provide enough like positive reinforcement because you yourself are so encased with work and completely surrounded by a list that you cannot possibly finish, that you forgot to check in on your team. Again, you have to be curious to find out where exactly these feelings are coming from.
Yeah, I've been laughing. I've been doing a lot of reading on like personality hires and things like that. And in places where it gets really, really busy and everyone's overwhelmed, it gets a bad rap, but I love a good personality hire. Like, can they get their work done and also kind of bring a little bit of smiles into the office and stuff? That's great.
100%.
Sometimes they get a bad rap as like distracting, or that person's too extroverted, or what are they doing? They're doing their work. They're just also doing a lot of the social work that you may not want to
Hell
do, right?
Yeah.
I love a good one of those. So don't like negate your students who might not have the capacity to do everything you can, but are bringing great vibes and feelings and excitement. If it's someone's first tax season, maybe they're excited about it. Yeah, sure. You're all like, that might be a little strange, but that's the excitement and emotion that we put in. And it really comes down to company culture. If I'm not safe to make a mistake, ask for help, say that I'm like really just needing a bitch session in the office, then I'm going to be more likely to burn out. I love sitting in Matt's office and being like, let's complain for 10 minutes and then let's get to it. We did it right before we did
hell
this,
yeah,
right?
We
just That's check so in funny. And it's like, let's complain about nothing for 10 minutes and then everybody feels better.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It actually goes really well into the neglect type, the like learned helplessness type of burnout, where it's like you're hitting your head against the wall every single day and nothing is working. That's the type of burnout I got, where it's just like everything I say is ignored and nothing is working. And it's really challenging to step in as an employer in that case, because a lot of it's probably out of your control. And we do a lot of controllables work, obviously, in performance, because the list of things out of your control is going to be like 500 times longer than the list of things in your control. But as the employer, willingness to work with those people who are feeling like they're getting nothing done, even though you might be feeling the same way, especially in really big corporations where the top head bosses who may be out of province are making decisions and you're just stuck with them. Mm-hmm. It can get really easy to be stuck in here. Boundaries will be huge, huge, huge about like, okay, we have to kind of draw a line here. Conflict is not always bad when it's done properly. So it may just need to be addressed. Outsourcing, delegating, prioritizing. Can this task be delayed? Like, is this the time to be doing it? Or am I currently so done that like it might just be better off if I just wait till next week?
Every relationship, this moment happens. And I may have shared this analogy before, but in a relationship, when you enough time has passed, the things that they do that you appreciate, that you love, that you really show that appreciation for early on in the relationship, our brain does this stupid thing where it just gets used to things and it just adds new things into familiar things, and it's just now an expected thing. As a boss, if you're managing several people, as a coach, like anytime you're someone who has to manage the herd of cats, you have to remember that like the things that might seem small and are clearly, they are expected behavior. They're expected in the roles and expectations of like their job description. We still have to make sure that we are thankful and grateful that they're doing those things. Because again, most burnout is a result of feeling that who I am or the work that I'm doing is not having any type of impact, is not being seen or recognized at all. So don't forget those little things can actually really help, because I mean, even when you think of like an intimate partner, sometimes you just need to remind your partner that they're good enough, that you can see how much effort that they're putting in, that even if the rental took longer than they expected, that it looks fantastic and it didn't bother you that it took extra time. Like, we have to remind the people around us that we see what they're doing, because sometimes when we get too trapped deep in our mind, we start to warp our reality because our emotions are getting in the way of what actually is happening.
Yeah, I think that's going to be where, and this is going to sound so honestly dumb, thank you for taking the time to do that. I know that was a difficult, boring, whatever task. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that you got it done. I know that took longer than you expected. It took longer than I expected, but thank you so much. Some sort of acknowledgement so that your employee feels like they have some sort of agency in this space, right? If everyone's going around just always doing what they're expected and never being thanked for it, they're not going to want to do it anymore. Like it's part of the job description. I understand that they need to be doing these things, but you know, if they stopped, you would be in trouble. So just maybe like a quick thank you. Really easy ones are like fun lunch day. Like, I'm not saying, let me be very clear, we always get the nurses and it's like, we had a pizza party and that was our thank you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is like an unexpected, like, hey, I appreciate this. This is not the only thank you you're getting. This is just some sort of feedback. Do you know your employees' like love language? Do they like gifts and gift cards? Are they more of a like, I need a verbal confirmation I've done a good job? Are they happy with some sort of certificate of like completion or work, or you've been here for 5 years and you can hang that on your wall? Everybody's going to have a different way they like to be appreciate it.
100%. Or does that person just light up like a Christmas tree when you give them a bloody high five?
Yes. I love a good high five. I feel so successful. And it's like, it's just a vibe. And I laugh with like, especially volleyball teams. I'm like, what gets your team going? And they're like, we have all these secret handshakes and every team member has different things. And so I had them all perform them in the team session that
Amazing.
We did. I've never seen a team in a better mood to be in a clinic, like learning all these things. But is it like just your vibe of just popping in and making a silly face? It's like, hey, I acknowledge that you're here and we're in this together. Especially when things are out of your control, just a mutual like, hey,
seriously,
we're good.
Again, like tax season, everyone's feeling the same weight. So like, let's kind of just acknowledge that, yeah, this is hard, but make light of it. Like, make sure we're still living and enjoying the moments in between. Yeah, it's busy season. We fucking know. We've done this how many years in a row?
Yeah. You're running out of energy. I'm running out of energy. And like, just the power of language in it, where it's just like, hey, I know you're feeling tired. Not, I know you're burnt out. Not, I know you're exhausted and starving. Mm. We tend to like hyperbolize these words. Just like, hey, I know you're really tired. I appreciate everything you've done. And find a controllable. as the employer, you're going to have to maybe assign the controllable to them. So just keep an eye on it. The other side of it can also be like an under-challenged side, which can be that like mindless demeaning. It can feel answering emails all day long, inputting things into Excel. Some of you are like, I love doing those things. I do not love doing those things. So how can you make it more fun? How can you find your zone, or how can you help your employees do it? I have a couple suggestions, which would be like, what is your door policy? Do you have like an open door policy? Do you have it closed at certain times? Do you have times people can like pop in and talk and times they can't? This will be different for everyone. But I know at my office, I can close my door anytime if I need to focus. And honestly, we sometimes laugh and go down the hall and it's like, Shauna needs to focus. Everybody shut up. And it's like funny, but it works every time. And so you can make a joke out of it because it is kind of funny. Having a culture where that's allowed, I would say just watch for that. Let your employees be curious. You want to see if they can do something new? They might be terrible at it. Great. Let them find out.
The amount of business owners I work with that have created complete unnecessary stress in their life because they've been so scared to just pass the baton on to someone else. Because, and they're right. They logically, they're correct. The way I do it is better. The way I do it is quicker. The way I do it is more efficient. Of course, you have been doing it for decades.
You're the pro. We know you can do it better.
Who are you empowering and educating and helping learn and mentor so that you have a bloody exit strategy?
Or you can just be there forever. I'm really bad for this at my previous job about being like, I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm still bad at it. Like, this is a work in progress for me as well. I know how to coach these classes. I know how to run these programs. I know how to classroom manage. I know how to do these. Then they give me this rookie who has no idea what they're doing. And it's hard. It's hard to watch them struggle. It's hard to watch them sometimes just fail. Like, they just stand there and they have no idea what to do. And I'm like, ooh. This was so bad. And they need to have those to learn because you'll remember way more from the mistakes that you did from all than you will all the times you did it right.
You know, when you go into like a restaurant or like a store, then I don't know if they do this or I'm totally dating myself right now, but you would have like the rookie with the badge being like, you know, in training.
I'm in training, yes.
Yeah. So like, if you know that's the case, and if you're in a more like public facing or like client relations kind of role, like just make sure everyone knows that like, hey, like we have like Steven here. He's new on the job, but he's ready to go. He's going to be running some of the workshop today or some of the presentation. And it also just like sets the expectation at a healthier place to where even now like the audience can be encouraging. You're like, nah, man, you got this. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
But we've seen that with our students 100%. Where we go 100%. In and we're like, this person's first time public speaking. And a lot of times they do choke a little bit. Everybody does. I've done it too. And then they get support and then they're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. But also if they're under challenged, they're not doing their best work. Yeah. They're bored. They don't want to be there. And the cost of employee turnover is just too high for you to keep training someone on doing these monotonous things.
And if you notice, if you, again, if you're sitting there on your couch, be like, oh, but if you're like, but they always come ask me stupid questions, that they keep asking me the same stupid questions. Is that because they're a little afraid to not do it the way that you want it to get done? Are they a little afraid that it's not going to be good enough, that it's not going to be as perfect as your standards are? Sometimes we get asked stupid questions because they're afraid to let us down, afraid to not meet the standard that we are maybe outwardly toxically presenting, or maybe the impact is significantly different than the intention behind the quality of work that we are expecting of our team. So rather than again just judging that moment. Like the book of the cover of a book. Let's go back there. That was really dumb.
we jinxed it when we talked about it beforehand.
So rather than assuming that staff is incompetent, like check yourself to be like, am I creating an environment where people are afraid to make mistakes? Because that is often why people ask stupid questions.
Yeah, and off of that, does your employee ask the same question and you've explained it the same way 18 times.
Oh, it's a good one.
Because they obviously aren't learning that way. Mm-hmm. So you didn't do anything wrong, but it's time to adjust. Mm-hmm. Everybody learns differently. Right before this, we were talking and you're like, oh, can you do these two things? Yes, I can, but not if I don't write them down. Like if I don't write them down, they're gone from my brain before we're done this. Mm-hmm. Do you have someone who needs notes? Do you have someone who thinks in a like ABC format? Or do you have someone you can throw a task at and they'll be able to piece it all together? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a different learning style. Mm-hmm. So you're frustrating yourself by repeating yourself 100 times. And you're frustrating them by repeating yourself 100 times. And now everybody's stressed and upset. So you can either have one of your other employees explain it. If you're busy and you don't have time for the 19th question, great. Do we have a group chat? Go on Teams. Is your whole company in one that they could just message in the whole group chat and whoever's available can reply to it? That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to leave your desk. You don't have to explain anything. And someone who's free has time to answer. Or does it need to be done by you because you're the specialist in it, but obviously you're explaining it wrong?
That was a nice way of saying control freak, the specialist.
Yes. Thank you so much, because that's me. And it's like, it's hard to watch. Like even when we have students here in my sessions, to me, these are my sessions and they need to be perfect and they need to do these things. And it's uncomfortable for me to be like, go. But if you don't say go, then they're never going to learn. And I've explained things to our students here and they're like, what? Mm. And so then I send them down the hall and someone else explains it because their brains all work different. There are people here who we have conversations with and I'm like, I don't understand anything. What was the point of this? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And then there are people who can just like summarize really quickly. That's the gift of a company. If you had all people who thought the same, what a sucky place to be, right? So just allowing those things to happen. And if you're someone who has struggles with patience with that as the employer, emotional regulation skills are very important. Asking for help is great. Delegating is great. Or create someone who's the personality person who gets to do the training. Because one, they'll love it. And two, you don't have to do it then, right? It's like a win-win. My husband does a lot of the training at their work now has nothing to do with what he knew, but he liked that part of the job. So some of it may come down to like creating your own roles. This role doesn't really have a specific title, but we're going to add employee training into yours over here. And we're going to add database entry to yours over here. Or we hired you to be maybe our front desk staff. And it turns out you're actually very talented at all of these other things. So maybe we can adjust your role accordingly. So instead of hiring solely based off of what the needs are right now, just allowing people to kind of go where they need
to. Don't ever make someone feel like they're pigeonholed into their current role. Yeah. That is a one-way ticket to burnout over a couple of years.
And hiring and training new staff is so much work, all right? Onboarding alone, getting them set up with their accounts, we know like getting everyone onto all of the accounts that we use and stuff, that's its own. Getting them used to the drives and the systems that we use, that could be its own month of stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be going through people and neither do you. So taking the time to do it right the first time and then letting them expand from there can be really helpful. That would be the biggest one there. Creating a culture where it's like, it's okay to ask me questions, but also it's okay to ask someone else those same questions where you feel a little bit safer. Other ideas, we talked a little bit about like paid sick leave. It's a bit of a hot topic depending kind of where you are. I don't have a fast and dry stance on it to tell you. Studies show that paid sick leave is on the rise. Like more people in both men and women led kind of careers are getting more of it. We don't have it. So it's kind of just depends on yours. If you have someone with a chronic illness or chronic anxiety or chronic really anything like that, learning disabilities may fall into here a little bit. They're going to need to be addressed individually. That would also be one to prevent employee burnout. If someone's dealing with a chronic illness, they're going to need more than 6 paid sick days, or they may need more time off or something like that. I would always recommend having individual conversations about it because it does not need to be a company-wide policy. But if you have a company-wide policy and it needs to be stuck with that, again, have the conversation with that person because they're probably already burning out outside of work.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, this is a tricky conversation because you do need to have like standardized processes. Otherwise, it's anarchy.
Yes.
There are obviously going to be people that have very genuinely unique circumstances that the human part of us needs to see that maybe, especially if they're like a valued member of our team, that we need to flex a bit to make them feel like they don't have to be perfect and that it's okay if their life gets messy from time to time and not feel like they're jeopardizing their employment with you or where they're currently working.
Yeah.
So again, just have the necessary conversations without making assumptions or expectations of, oh my God, Sandra ain't got her shit together again. Like, oh, what's Sandra, going on?
Get it together.
Sorry, Sandra.
Yeah. Oops. I think that's why that like individualized needs to come in there because I don't know everyone's unique situation and neither do you. Employees, if you don't tell people, we also can't adjust. Mm-hmm. So just again, that's the vulnerability. That's the culture. That's that we need to adjust this. You can have a policy in place, but if you're one of your star employees has something terminal come up or something chronic come up, like, is this a safe place to talk about it? Or am I concerned to tell you because I'm worried I'm going to lose my job? And those kind of people are more likely than to leave and leave you now with a position open.
And is your culture shit talking people that are taking leave?
Yes.
Right? Like, don't be that guy. Don't have that kind of culture. That's the worst kind of culture. So make sure that people feel like it is okay and it's normal and it's encouraged when you genuinely need time off to take it. Otherwise, if you're in a shitty environment, people will take sick time and short-term disability leave when they don't need to because it's a big F you. So How much money are you losing because people are taking leave for the wrong reasons?
I was pulling from StatsCan and like a couple research articles and it just says perfectly, like typically when companies eliminate like exact days of paid sick leave and paid time off, it's actually linked to employees taking fewer days than they had in the cap before because they're not getting to the end of the year and being like, oh my God, I have 5 sick days left. I may as well take them because they know they can take them when they actually need them. So just something to watch out for. That was always my FU, was that I was like, I'm going to take a sick day today and I'm going to do nothing. Another one to consider for those which won't apply to everyone is just kids get sick all the time. So what is your work from home policy?
Yeah,
I know it tends to be, this isn't a bit of a generalization, but older generations are a little bit more anti-work from home. Mm. Younger generations are a little bit more pro-work from home. There can be a balance between them.
When I worked at the prison, I was just like a wage staff because Matt likes flexibility and not being tied down by anything.
Oh, yeah.
And I was basically working full time for 8 years there. And if I would have a conversation with like one of the directors or one of my like supervisors at work about like, hey, like I would prefer to work a different unit or I'm not vibing with this coworker. Like, is there any way that I could work with someone else? If they made me feel like they heard me and they told me that, yes, we'll change it up, and they did not, you best believe I took that sick leave.
Oh, yeah. I found in all the work I've done in corporate and with teams and stuff, I can be told no as long as I feel heard, I understand. So if I'm like, hey, I don't want to work with Matt anymore. He's driving me nuts, getting on my nerves. And they're like, look, we understand. There's just no other way we can make this work. And I'm sorry. And we like hear you. We'll keep an eye on it in the future. That's usually good enough for me. I just need to feel like I'm not talking to a wall. Mm-hmm. Like, this is someone, I'm a human, you're a human, and we can understand this a little. I'm not saying bend over backwards for your employees. I'm saying just hear them out. They might actually have a legitimate point. Hey, this person and I don't get along. We're distracting too much. I'm not getting as much work done. I'm not as effective. That might be a good reason to hear them out if they're not being as effective at work as they want to be.
Yeah. Like, we've still banished Shauna to the haunted office in the back corner, but no, we told her why.
they told me why I'm with the ghosts and I'm like, whatever. That would be better, actually. Then I could probably focus, talk less at the office. It comes down to also like flex work hours. We do that. here, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. We can open and close our calendars. Mm-hmm. Not everywhere gets to do that.
Sorry, clients.
We do it all the time. Yeah. Not everywhere can do that. I understand, yeah. like, if you're a business, you have open and closed hours. I get that. So just pay attention to what does flex work hours mean to you. When I was GMing, I always was like, it's fine as long as I know ahead of time and we can like kind of piece it together. I had employees who would be like, I know that I said I can work mornings, but every other Wednesday I have whatever in the morning. Okay, fine. Like, it's not that hard for me. And I understand if you have the kind of company that puts it all in a scheduling app and it does it for you. That's what we had. I did that and then I would just edit it, right? And it is an extra sometimes hour out of my day. But then I had 20 people who were really happy instead of a bunch of people who were complaining. So it was worth it for me to do that. So something to consider. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're more of the like corporate side, does it matter if your employee comes in 7 to 4 instead of 8 to 5? Like,
yeah,
does it?
Yeah,
it might. It totally might. But I know like sometimes on Thursdays, my daughter has swimming lessons. So we need to adjust and we're working 7 to 4 instead of 8 to 5 or whatever it might be. All the same work gets done. In fact, I've found more work gets done because nobody else is working at 7. And so are you open to that or are you really strict about it? Maybe just check in with your employees because especially younger generations, they're really pro work-life balance. And if you're not providing that, they're probably not going to put up with it.
Yeah. And if you thought millennials were all pro like work-life balance, just wait for the young kiddos coming up. It's the next level.
Oh, it's been very fun to listen to. Just to like wrap it up with a couple more like really quick ones. Do you have a mental health program? If not, look around where you live. Is there someone who could come in? Is there someone you could refer to? What is your actual mental health coverage? Mm-hmm. Mine covers 2 therapy sessions in a year, right? Now, I can cover that on my own privately, but if your employees need to go to AHS, those things are a lot more difficult. So maybe just check in on that. There are opportunities for it. If you have questions about it, you can Google it. You can email people. You can ask around, but just maybe check in, especially if you have a company that maybe is on the verge of kind of needing a bit of a cultural shift. My other recommendations, EFAP, that's the Employee and Family Assistance Program in Alberta. If you have that, you can basically get free mental health and crisis interventions just from your benefits. It's totally free. It's a pain to use. I've used it. It's complicated. So make sure you have someone who knows how to like walk you through it because otherwise it can get just lost in what's going on. The number for that is 1-800-268-5211 if you have it. HR representatives usually know, or just call them and be like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And they might help. But much like a crisis line, it just may be a little bit more up in the air. Taking really intentional breaks and lunches is another one. And micro breaks help prevent the effects of like impaired work. So let your employees scroll TikTok for 10 minutes. It's going to be okay. I promise they'll come back. They'll refocus. Mm-hmm. Instagram is not the end of the world. We always used to get in trouble. It's like you have Facebook up on your computer. That 10-minute mental break is actually proven to show that people are going to get back to focus and
Pomodoro
adjust again.
Technique, baby.
Yay! We love it. So just, you know, it's kind of like if you're leaning, you should be cleaning or whatever from like back.
Oh my goodness.
It brings you back, right? Just watch those kinds of things because those are things that will push your employees to be like, okay, I'm allowed to take a 10-minute phone call. And you know what? They are. Mm-hmm. And I bet that afterwards they'll be like, oh, I'm in a better mood. I feel a little bit better. And you can actually get more work done in that same amount of time mm-hmm. instead of taking 20 minutes to send one email.
So to conclude our conversation on burnout, Shauna and I are feeling burnt out talking about burnout.
I'm tired of it.
We are going to be shifting our future conversations to new themes and new topics, also within kind of that corporate organizational setting. But we feel like we have covered extensively what burnout looks like, what it feels like, what you can do about it, because it is important and we want to avoid getting to that point at all costs because sometimes there's no return. But what we're really looking forward to is diving into the dozens and dozens and hundreds of other theories and concepts and culture-enhancing conversations that we want to have with these conversations. So expect a lot more from Shauna and I in the future. Again, thank you so much for supporting these conversations. We know we've had so many people who have passed on these episodes to other people and other businesses. So we're looking forward to bringing you guys our new ideas and our new conversations. So again, like and subscribe. I don't care if it's cringy or if it sounds cringy. It's true. We need people to be following so we can expand these conversations to have a larger impact. So we appreciate your support and we will see you next time.
So long.